Message, M017, The Overshadowing. Given by Cecil J. Duseal, 11th of November, 1970.
We find sometime in the past we didn't have any appetite for this sort of thing. And our appetite has increased and increased and increased until we find our appetite changed. And the things we used to love, we don't love those things anymore, and we begin to love things that we never knew even existed. And some of us have some appetites for things we didn't know were there, but we just had a longing for it. And remember, as we talked about the pregnant woman who wants a piece of ice or something salt or something, and she doesn't know what she wants, but she wants something, tastes like something that she wants. And the next thing happened, this poor husband goes trotting all over to find something to please her. And very often he tries to guess what she might want, and he gets it handy. And then she didn't want that, she wanted something else. So this is the sort of thing the Spirit of God in us is crying out for: food, special food, special nourishment. This spirit within our souls. So the church is tonight pregnant, and Satan is waiting to devour the man child. It amuses me, he has lost so often and yet he hasn't got the sense to stop trying. He tried every baby that comes upon this earth that should bring deliverance to the people of God. Satan tries to kill it. And every time he tried, he lost. And we find that he did it with Moses, he did it with Jesus, and he's intending to do it with us again. That as soon as this new birth comes forth in the world, he will crush it. The laws are being made right now. They are creating laws to restrict Christians and to bind us. But they have not yet invented a rope or a chain or a law strong enough to bind the people of God. Let's turn our Bibles to Psalm 91. And we are going to think about the overshadowing. Overshadowing. Hallelujah. I want all of us to read this psalm together. Let's just read slowly so that readers like me who can't go too fast, you just, we keep in unity. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that waiteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy feet against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample on the feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's turn to Psalm 27. And we'll read the first 6 verses. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host shall encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Praise God. Amen. We notice that in these 2 psalms, as in many others, there is the mention of the secret place, and there is the mention of the overshadowing, and there is the mention of hiding, and there is the mention of in the time of trouble thou wilt hide me. And it seems to me that a definite message is being brought to us, that there is a definite place of hiding. Now, many people come, especially in California, and they give prophecies to people, and many have sold out their homes and have run off for safety. Many are buying holes, you have to call it holes, in the Rocky Mountains and in other mountains. Many are running off to South America and other places for safety. But where is safety, and where will there be safety in the tribulation? We have got to know tonight. Let us go look at the 11th verse of Psalm 91. The 11th verse says, For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Praise God. Now, we see here in verse 5, for in the, I'm thinking of the 27th chapter now. Going back to the 27th chapter. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me where? In his pavilion. And after the word pavilion, I seem to see a colon. And the colon means that what comes after pavilion is an explanation of what is before pavilion. Amen. So, what is his pavilion? In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. That means in the tabernacle of God, there is a city of refuge. There is a place of hiding in the tabernacle of God. I'm going to draw something here which is not the tabernacle, but which we could use as it for our own convenience. Just going to divide it in three parts. And I'll call this spot the outer court, and I'll call this the holy place, and I'll call this the holy of holies. Amen. And in the secret of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. We have learned the tabernacle in three dimensions. And in the three dimensions of the tabernacle, there is a hiding place in every dimension for the sons of God. Now let's take it in the dimension of the human realm. I put here human realm. In the human realm, the Holy of Holies would be the Spirit filled with the Holy Ghost. The holy place the holy place would be the soul and the outer court would be the body. So within you and within each of us there is a Holy of Holies which is in the Spirit. There is a soul which is the holy place, and there is a body, our bodies, which is in the outer court. Now God says in the secret of his tabernacle he shall hide me. Now the seven pieces of furniture, as we have already gone through it, represent seven churches. 1, 2, 3, bread, 4, 5, put it here, altar of incense, 6 and 7 together here with the angels overshadowing this one. We find here the holy place, Holy of Holies, and the Spirit are the same. We find the seventh church and this realm of church life, this whole realm where men begin to offer a sacrifice unto God of their own soul. Remember, We had a problem here this morning, and somebody wanted all of us to pack up and go to Jerusalem. And we seemed to be a bit stubborn, and there was a lot of trouble, because this very conscientious sister felt that we were all missing God because we didn't want to go to Jerusalem. The first thing, Jerusalem couldn't hold us. The second thing, the Jerusalem of God is not over there. The third thing is that there's no Holy of Holies there and no holy place there. The fourth thing is that the Word of God is against it. Jesus said to the woman of Samaria, he said, neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will men worship God, but men will worship God in where? In spirit and in truth. So we find that in the spirit, here is the secret place. Somewhere in this realm, there is the secret place of hiding, somewhere in that realm. Now this here is a veil. And this here is a veil. And this here is a veil. The man had to break through flesh in order to get to the first salvation station. And where he got saved there, he had to break through flesh again to get into the spirit realm, which we call the baptism of the Holy Ghost realm in here. And he has to break through flesh again to get into the place where he is meet and ready to offer to God a spiritual sacrifice, not a carnal mixed spiritual mixed carnal sacrifice, but a complete sacrifice that has no just goes up in essence, has no ashes left when he's finished offering, nothing of the flesh, and where he's able to bow down before God and receive God's overshadowing. Now many of us are saying that we have Christ, but I know better than that. Many of you have the Holy Ghost, and Christ is not formed in you. Paul said, I travail with you, amen, until Christ be formed in you. Christ is being formed in us. When the Spirit is allowed to give the seed of life to the soul, then within the soul begins a growth, a pregnancy. And this growth calls for new life, calls for food from God. That's the reason so many of us can't be content in our churches, because the churches have no life to give us, to feed that which is within us. Amen. And so it's like Brother Smiley comes to his table and here jars of baby food. Jars of baby food. The first day he ate it. Second day he eats it. The third day his mouth begins to get water. He can't eat baby food anymore. He wants some meat to chew on. And this is the point. Amen. Hallelujah. What is happening and has been happening, the preachers, when they couldn't find anything to preach, they put sugar coating over dry trash and gave it to us. And they coated over everything with sugar and made the Word of God just one continuous thing going over and over, over and over. I don't know if you had the same experience as I had, but you go to the Sunday school class and the same lesson you went through last year, you are going back over again and over and over and over and over these lessons, the same things. And if you are in the church for a number of years, you know exactly what is coming. As a matter of fact, we used to save the Sunday school manual quarterlies, and we would save them, and after so many years they would come back again, so we wouldn't have to buy anymore. They would come, the same quarterlies would come back again. So I want to say this, that God is leading his people up. And he said, the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto a perfect day. Therefore, we could not continue every day to be eating the same food just going on. And God promised that he would give living waters that would flow forth to feed his people. Now, here we are. We are considering the overshadowing. So each of these churches, each of these stages of our Christian growth is a realm through which we passed, and the goodness of this realm, we appropriated it as a foundation upon which to build this worship that should be in spirit and in truth. Amen. Now we have come into the Holy of Holies, and there we cross the veil. But there is something about that veil that I want to read for you tonight. And then we come under the overshadowing of the cherubims. And the God of heaven appears between the cherubims. And so as the priest stands up before the altar to minister here, here the light and the shadow falls on him. And the shadow of the cherubims falls over him and overshadows him. But we find that Solomon, in making the temple, he constructed, the building was, say, 30 cubits, that's possibly longer than this building, wider than this building is long. And the angels, one cherubim, the wing would touch the wall there. That he would be so big and high that he would be way up in the ceiling. And the other, and in his other wing would touch in the center here. And the other cherubim would touch his wing here. And they would touch to the wall. So the whole of the Holy of Holies was completely overshadowed by the cherubim. And this was a massive overshadowing which God had put wisdom into Solomon's heart to construct, to show us the great overshadowing that is going to come upon us in the last day. Praise God. Now let us read about this veil that overshadowed one side of the here, between the Holy of Holies. We turn to Exodus chapter 26. And we look at verse 31. And thou shalt make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen of cunning work, with cherubims shall it be made. And thou shalt hang it upon four pillars of shittim wood, overlaid with gold. Their hooks shall be of gold upon the four sockets of silver. And thou shalt hang up the veil under the tatches, that thou mayst bring in thither within the veil the ark of the testimony. And the veil shall divide unto you between the holy place and the most holy. Praise God. We find that the image of cherubims, angels, were on this veil. The whole veil covered here, and the whole thing had the image of cherubims. And this veil not only separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies, but it was an overshadowing of the whole Holy of Holies with angelic emblems. Now God was saying that if the veil is the flesh, he was saying that he's going to put a mark upon the flesh, so that the flesh would no longer be carnal, but that the flesh would be spiritual. And the overshadowing, as we spoke today of one church overshadowing the other, this is what is happening here. One church overshadowing the other. We find the man-child in Revelation chapter 12 being overshadowed by the woman. The Bible said she was pregnant. I mean, the Bible didn't have to put it that way, but it's for a special reason, because one church will be pregnant with the other. The coming out of this body, God is going to call out an army, a 144,000, a people who are filled with the power of Almighty God, as stated in the chapter 14 of Revelation. And God is calling out this people to be the people which God had planned to have from the foundation of the world, to set the whole creation free. But here is what we are at now. We are experiencing a overshadowing, and especially in this hour when we are going into the tribulation, you are going to need the overshadowing of God more than any other doctrine or anything else that you think you need. Because God's Spirit must overshadow the church in this condition. And it is not a place that God is providing as a safe spot. A lot of people going around the country saying that God has revealed to them that there are certain spots in the United States that are cities of refuge. I am not going against them, because maybe God revealed something to them. But I am saying this, that the overshadowing is not on a spot of ground. It is on a people. Amen. And it is where you are that the overshadowing will be. Amen. Praise be to God. Now, we take what happened in the flood. God overshadowed the earth. And when he sent a shadow over the earth, the rain began to fall. There was an overshadowing, and the overshadowing called for a cleansing, a sanctifying, a separation. And God made the very waters that killed and drowned all the people of the world, those were the waters that saved the earth. And talking about the rapture, amen, talking about the rapture, those people were lifted to the height of Ararat by the water while the others were being drowned. They were not taken out of this atmosphere. Amen. The Bible says they will not be taken out of this atmosphere. Jesus prayed, he said, "Oh Father, don't take them out of the world." Amen. Don't take them out of the world. We found that Daniel was not delivered out of the lion's den, but he was delivered in the lion's den. The three Hebrew boys were not delivered out of the fire, but they were delivered in the fire. Amen. God didn't lift them, translate them out of Babylon, but God delivered them in Babylon. And this is the message that we are trying to give you. God destroyed Egypt, delivered the children of Israel, overshadowed them, and delivered them in Egypt. The children of Israel weren't delivered out of Egypt. They were delivered in Egypt. Then they came out because God had a better country for them. So praise be to God, we are expecting to be delivered in the tribulation. Brethren, the people who are preaching a pre-tribulation ascension or rapture, they are going to be shocked when the tribulation hits. They will not be prepared because the tribulation has already begun. Amen. And this is why some of us are going to be caught unawares, because God is saying to us now, be ye ready. Be ye ready. And what ready he's saying that you should be ready is that you should receive this overshadowing or this mark upon your foreheads, upon your minds. Amen. Your soul must be overshadowed, taken by Jesus, by the name of Jesus. We mean the nature of Jesus. That's what we mean when we say the name. We are not name people, just go shouting the name without any sense. We believe in the nature of Jesus. And so the nature of Jesus is supposed to be in your mind. Then that time you have his name upon your forehead. Outside of that, you have nothing. Praise be to God. This is the great overshadowing that God is talking about. Let us turn our Bibles around to the 24th chapter of Exodus. And let us begin to read from the 19th verse, 23rd chapter. The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not seethe a kid in its mother's milk. This is, by the way, but since we are passing it, I might as well give you an idea of what God is saying. God is speaking of crowning God king in your lives, crowning Jesus Christ as king in your lives. And he is saying that you ought to give him all your heart, the first, your best. And this is what the first fruit really means. He said, sons and daughters, give me thine heart, and I will give thee my Father's kingdom. And so we find that this here brings us down to a very peculiar saying. He says here in the last clause, and thou shalt not seed a kid in its mother's milk. The milk of the word. Do you know some people take the word and destroy one another? Mm-hmm. They use the word as a weapon against other people. Never use the word in that sense. Never use the word of God to smite at someone. For you are trying to seed a kid, somebody with less understanding, somebody weaker than you are, with the very word of God. If you take the word of God to mislead a person, a young Christian or someone who does know better, you are seething a kid in its mother's milk, because its mother's milk is the word of God. Now, let's go on here. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him, Watch it now. God is giving a message here of sending protection. Sending an overshadowing. You know the story of how these children of Israel were overshadowed all the way along in the wilderness, covered over like a mother carrying an umbrella over her little child, and the heat of the sun could not touch them, for there was a cloud over them. When they lagged back, the cloud stretched out. When they came together, the cloud came together, and therefore the cloud was completely subject to their movement. I want to believe if one little child strayed away, that cloud, a piece of that cloud would keep over its head. I want to believe that nobody could get lost, for they would only see where the cloud is and go there and find it. And this is what God did in the wilderness. They had a complete overshadowing. A complete overshadowing by the Lord. Now, God is saying a very peculiar thing here. He says, beware of him, that's this angel, and obey him. Obey his voice, provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgression. For my name is in him. Amen. Meaning to say, my nature, the nature of God, the nature of God which is holiness, which cannot stand sin, is in the angel that I send before you. He said, don't provoke him. If you provoke him, he's going to kill you. Why? Why did he say that? And God is so loving and so nice. Why did he say that? He was only telling them what would happen. He was only telling them the law of holiness. He was only telling them that where there is holiness, sin cannot exist. Amen. Because the very holiness that was overshadowing them, that was going to defend them from their enemies, would kill the Israelites if they were wrong. Also, God wasn't partial. Amen. So we are saying that in our time, God is preparing an overshadowing for the church. God is preparing a deliverance for the church. But the church must walk in holiness. People believe that they can walk anyhow and say they're walking in end time gospel because we have come out of order, we are now in disorder. Amen. We have stepped out of man-made order. Praise God. I'm having my own freedom. That was like the freedom we had this morning. Amen. Amen. Disorder is, wherever there is disorder, there is not the Spirit of God. And if you're going to manifest in a spirit to bless the people of God, then if the spirit is disorderly, then it can't be God. It can't be God. That alone should tell anybody that it wasn't God. But here we are. I was so very, very glad for that very, very good example of a prophecy that was coming from the soulish realm and out of the zeal of a person's heart. Amen. I was very glad for it, brethren, and I'm glad you saw that what my preaching really means. Amen. Because it's not only there, but it is in our midst also. That sometimes we prophesy out of our soulish realm. And this sort of prophecy does not bless, but it kind of stands the whole meeting still. We are clapping and rejoicing and praising in God, and suddenly a prophecy comes up that just dullens the meeting. And as sons of God, we want to walk from glory to glory. We don't want to stay down in low ground. So if we find a fault within ourselves, we must correct it. Praise be to God. When we prophesy, we must be sure that we have the move of God within us that brings forth that word that's going to bless his people. Why should I want to prophesy unless it's going to bring forth an absolute blessing to the people of God? So therefore, we have got to watch this angel and to watch for the overshadowing. For we don't want soulish prophecies. We don't want false prophecies. We want nothing false. We want everything to be of God absolutely. So let's read a little further here. He said, my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be... If thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies, and an adversary unto thine adversaries. For mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee into the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites, the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from thee, from the midst of thee. These there shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. I notice that among Christians, many things will happen to us, and we never considered that it is because God has withdrawn his blessing. But this shows that even your animals in the field, when the overshadowing of God is on you, he's on even the animals in the field. Amen. Now, some of us have children here that are in trouble. Did it ever occur to you that you can hold God responsible for also overshadowing your children who are not present with you, but in probably some desperate circumstances and places? Do you know that the shadow of God can be upon them also because of you? Yes. That's the reason the Lord made me mention that if a little one strayed from Israel, do you think God would make the son strike him and kill him because he strayed from the big company of the people? No. I want you to know that cloud would go over him wherever he was. Yes. It was the most marvelous thing, and the heathen people shook and trembled when they heard that these Israelites were coming, because the Israelites had supernatural power, even a shadow over their heads, and these heathen people would look and see that great shadow over them. And when the shadow had followed them in the daytime, at night, the shadow would lift from off them and turn straight up and be a great big floodlight, flooding 3 million people with light in the wilderness. Amen. And if their enemies should try to creep up on them in the darkness, in the night, the enemies would run into thick darkness. Thick darkness, they couldn't find their way. And fearful darkness. And this is what happened to Pharaoh. When he tried to come down on the children of Israel, he wanted to finish that business that afternoon. But God moved the cloud. And God said, the angel that went before Israel moved and went behind them. And the moment he went behind them, there was a big, thick cloud between Israel and Egyptians. And the one side of the cloud was as black could be. They couldn't find their way through it. No man dared to go near that thing because it was just ominously black. Amen. And there was light on the side of the Israelites. Amen. This is what God is saying to us. We need not fear the tribulation. Amen. He said, in his pavilion, what? He shall hide you. In the secret place of his tabernacle shall he hide you. Where then is this secret place? In the spirit. In the spirit. Brethren, if you are in the spirit, you can't be wrong. No man is wrong in the spirit. When you are out of the spirit, we do a lot of things wrong. But while you are in the spirit, you cannot be wrong. If you are in the spirit, you are in this realm, you can remain there under the shadow of God, under the overshadowing of God, under the umbrella of God, under the covering of God, and there is no fear there. I want you to notice in Revelation chapter 11, first few verses. Hallelujah. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod. And the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar of them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Amen. This is what God says. That's what it means. He is saying that the angel must measure the temple. And what's the meaning of angel measuring temple? If we look into another place, we see that the angel was going to measure the temple with a golden rod. Now, gold is the nature of God. And if I took an inch measure and I measure a thing, then if you ask me how long is it, I can say I'll have to tell you in inches and feet and yards, etc., right? Because I use an inch measure. So if I use the nature of God to measure this man, amen, my answer must come back in the nature of God. How much of God is in him? And this is what God is saying. God is saying that he measured the temple, and the temple had come up to what he wanted it to be. It's 144 cubits, as he said. And because it had come to his 144 cubits, he said, okay, angel, he said, don't measure the outer court. Because the outer court will be given to the Gentiles to trample underfoot. Amen. And he said, Jerusalem shall be treading under the foot of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be accomplished, which is 42 months. We find in Daniel chapter 7 that we are told that the saints of the Most High God will be slain until the Ancient of Days come. Now, what is the meaning of that? If he says he's going to keep you under his pavilion, if he's going to hide you under his shadow, he said he's going to keep you from the great tribulation, and then all of a sudden we find that there is some saints that will be destroyed. Because his pavilion is in the secret place. Amen. Hallelujah. And the tribulation is going to drive those from out of the outer court into the holy place. Amen. And God is going to bring men into the Holy of Holies. And these in the Holy of Holies will cast a veil of protection, and the flesh will be removed altogether, and the protection will be cast upon the holy place. So we find when God says that the outer court will be given to destruction, we mean it. There are some Christians who will be killed. This is why we preach. Because we preach to make people know what God is saying. There are Christians that will be slain. And because there are Christians that will be slain, God is saying to you, come into the hiding place now. Come into the Holy of Holies. For Moses was in the land of Egypt, but Pharaoh didn't touch him. Right? The plagues came on Egypt. They wrecked the whole of Egypt. Many men were killed, but it didn't touch Goshen land. Amen. And so we find that right through and through the scriptures, in every age and in every generation, there were men who were walking away up on top of the generation, and they never got hurt. But the people who get hurt are the people who abide on low ground. Turn to Matthew chapter 24, and we will see how right this word is. Matthew 24, and verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Verse 16. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is in on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. God is saying that there is a time for man to get up into the high place. Yes, this is the high place. Amen. The Holy of Holies, there's a time for man to flee into the mountains. And God is saying that we must go up into the mountains because there is going to be a time of destruction. And the only thing that is going to deliver mankind is those that have the mark or the seal of the living God in their forehead. Amen. The seal of the living God is the name of God, which we find in the 14th chapter of Revelation. The name of God is the nature of God. So what the devil is doing in this hour is trying to deceive the people and to get them mixed up with all different kinds of things so that they don't have time to get the nature of God within them. Amen. Don't you see what I'm saying? The enemy is deceiving the people so that people are concerned. You know, Satan has deceived some people that they are even concerned and over anxious about winning souls and forget their own welfare. Amen. instead of talking to God for men, you are rushing up and down talking to men for God. It's better, it's more profitable to talk to God for men than to talk to men for God. For if you talk to God for men, when God sends you to speak to men, then those men must bow under God. Because when Peter was told, he said, stay where you are in Jerusalem and be endued with power from on high. He said, you keep together. And so they stayed there for 10 days. When they were endowed with power from on high, 3,000 souls were saved in the first day. Do you think they would have had 3,000 souls all week if they were knocking on doors? They would have been disobeying God. Many of us knocking on doors, we are not ready for anything. We are not ready to preach any gospel or anything. We should really be there praying and seeking God's faith to get God's power within us that we can really do something for God. But God called us, you know, and we run off. So many men, I see God just barely called them. God called them truly, they are the call of God, but they were never sent. God never sent a half-baked man or a half-baked woman into the world to preach his gospel. Those who God sent are well tried in the fire. Amen. That is why God wants men to stay put until they be endued with their commission to go. Amen. Hallelujah. Some want to run. And sometimes it is carnality that make men run up and down and preach the gospel. They want to do their own thing. And their own thing is not God's thing at all. Amen. But God is in this hour getting a people together who will count it as great joy to sit down with him and have a talk with him. Amen. You know, I remember I couldn't spend enough time talking with Mavis. We used to sit down for hours and hours and hours and just talk about the Lord and go into the scripture, and we wouldn't count time. We lost all time when we were together. Amen. And I say, if there is another human soul whom we could be so attached together, then some of us have to reconsider our state with God. We're not spending any time with him. If you were in love with Jesus as you are in love with your beloved one, you would be able to spend as much time with Jesus as with your dear precious one. But you know, sometimes we run out of words when we are with Jesus. Oh Lord God, fix the chair for me. What about the table? And Lord, do this for me. And Lord, do that for me. And Lord, do that for me. And Lord, bless me. Bless John. Bless Tom. Bless Mary. Bless, 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 bless. And bless the jail. And bless the prison. Lord, and bless. And we go on rambling before God instead of being quiet. When you go to talk to God, you mustn't talk. You must let him talk. God is always talking to you and you're not hearing. When you get rid of your business and find some time with God, you get in a peaceful mood and wait upon God. And he'll talk to you. And as things come through your mind, you can say it to the Lord. But brethren, I met a young girl. And she said, oh, I've always heard people talking about how the Lord speaks to them. I don't know why God can't speak to me. And while she was talking, how God won't speak to me, God said, shut up. And before I knew what I had said, I said, shut up. She stopped. Of course, you don't do that with a stranger, and she was a stranger. But I said, shut up, and she stopped. And I said, give God a chance to talk to you. Amen. The phone rang the next day. And she said, it worked, it worked, it worked. Amen. My God, but that is just ABC. That's just basic and simple. You haven't got much to say to God. There's nothing that you could say to God that he doesn't know you're coming with. Therefore, all you've got to do is say, well, God, I've come. Throw down yourself with words and say, And when you get in such a rested mood, in such a quiet mood, then he begins to come through. Blessed be to God. Do you know that God is always talking?
Yes.
It's like your radio, you switch it on, you get something. God is always on the air. And if you tune in right, you'll pick him up. Amen. But many of us don't know how to communicate with God. We need this overshadowing. And brethren, I cannot press it too hard that it is in the area of our minds that we are being caught. Matthew chapter 13 tells me, you don't have to look it up, that a sower went forth to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air. And somehow, I was preaching that thing, and I saw the fowls. And it weren't pigeons, it weren't good birds, they were crows. They were blackbirds picking up the seed. When God's seed fall in, it's like, oh my goodness, though, no, I mustn't say that. All right, I'll say it. God's seed fall in a trash can, filled with all kinds of rubbish, and they just dump it. And God's seed falls in among thorns. You know what he called the thorn? He said the cares of this life. The cares of this life. And some of you have business and business and business and business. What profit is it to you if you should gain the whole world and lose your own soul? Business, business, business. Oh, I'm busy for God. God, I'm doing this God's business. I'm talking to this one, I'm talking to the other one, I'm getting this one in order. And if you don't spend time with God, your efforts are in vain. God wants you to relax. Just relax and don't care if the world is finished, if the earthquake is coming to take away the half of California tonight. You relax in God. Amen. And begin to speak to him. Amen. Yes. Think of the love between you and God. Think of your shortcomings. If it is repentance you need, repent before him, because he sees all that in a flashlight. And God will come right in and give you what you need. You don't have to give a prophecy out of self. You don't have to give a vision that is not sharp and clean and clear. Amen. You know, we have some visions at times that are not sharp. Yes, I have so many visions, I don't talk them. Unless God impresses on me a vision that should be talked, I don't worry with it. I just forget it. Because my mind is very active. And I think something, and if I don't mind sharp, I'll have a vision on what I think. Yeah. I remember we went through visions and dreams. So therefore, you have a photographic mind. and you actually see the things you think sometimes. Therefore, you've got to be careful. Learn to relax with God. God counts this as a greater prize than all you are doing. If your business is so urgent and so pressing that it's pressing out God, it's not of God, brother. Don't worry to ask if that job is God's business. Don't worry to ask if it is God's will that you should work night and day and can't have a time when you come to service, you feel so groggy because you are working night and day. Don't ask the question. It is not God. God in this hour is trying to get his people to hear him. Yes. And if you can't, if you are hearing too many things, you can't hear God. Amen. Sometimes when we should be spending with God, we spend it with the television. Sometimes when we should be spending the time with God, we spend it doing something else, reading a book or just gossiping. Amen. Some people take up the telephone and speak for 1 hour. Amen. You're not ministering life to anybody. You're just talking and everybody, all the news. How can your mind cope with the trash of the world and at the same time bear the seed of God that is supposed to bring forth a man? This is our problem. This is our problem. I am an accountant. And accountancy was kind of second nature to me. And I would tackle great problems and try to get people out of these income tax distresses in Jamaica. They make mistakes and they give in wrong returns and they go on and on and on. And then the government pounces down on them after 5 years and they come and look for Dusilt to take them out. And I had to be figuring out ways and ways of getting them out of this trouble and at the same time getting them off the hook with the income tax. And sometime night after night, I would be sleeping and yet the figures would roll before me. And I would solve my problem while I'm sleeping and wake up in the morning and jump on those books and knock it off. Now, this sort of thing has no space for God. God just took me away from it. And I tell you something, you've got to pray for me. Because I got a man's books in my bag there, intended to do it since I come to the United States. And I dare not even touch the thing. And I'm praying to God to give me a chance. Let me just give the man his figures and let him go. The man is writing me, he's in the trouble, the government breathing down his neck, and I have his books. Dear, not touch it. I don't know what to do. Can't find a soul to look after it for. And this is the, as I speak now, I see a man. I'm going to write him straight and ask him to get the book fixed for me. But this is a kind of situation which we face. You have one mind, brother, sister, and you've got to make an economic choice. You have either got to prepare yourself to use it for God or mix it up and then miss God. Amen. Don't you hear what Jesus said? I'm speaking through Paul. He said that to them that look for him shall he return the second time without sin unto salvation. To them that look for him without sin shall he return the second time unto their deliverance. Yeah. Amen. I don't know if you see what I'm talking about now. That is, if you're not looking for Jesus, you won't even know that he came. You have got, he said, where the eagles are gathered together, where the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. meaning to say if you are not an eagle, you won't be there. Only the eagle is going to know where the carcass is. Amen. And so God is trying to awaken our consciousness to this His overshadowing presence. What is to happen in a few years' time? We are in 1970. When are you waiting for? The tribulation begins this year. And if we have 1970, 1971, 1972, you're going to be in trouble. When are you going to get serious with God? Are we waiting till 1972 when the fire begins to light upon our backs before we begin to really cry to God, give me your overshadowing? Then shall the outer court be taken by the Gentiles, and they will trample it on the feet, said the Lord God. He said, when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, he says, then flee into the mountains. What is that? What is the abomination of desolation? Well, look, let's start somewhere. We know what the holy place is. Amen? It's either in the physical realm, human realm, it is either the soul, amen, or in the church realm, it is in the Pentecostal area. Good. Now, praise be to God. When we see the abomination of desolation, now this tabernacle that God drew here to Moses, why did God draw this tabernacle to Moses? Why? Because there was a true tabernacle. Amen. This was only a drawing. This was only a shadow. Thank you, brother. Only a shadow. And the true tabernacle is this one sitting down before me here. I better be careful of what I do to this tabernacle here. This one too. Your body is not yours. You can't just fool around with it as you like. It is the temple of the living God, for the Holy Ghost dwells in it. Now, look. When ye shall see, this is the mind, this is the desire, this is the emotions, this is the will. When ye shall see the house of the man child, the house of the Christ, for Christ lives in the soul of man. When ye shall see the home that God is preparing in the earth for the Christ man, taken by the abomination of desolation, that's 666. The fullness of man and iniquity. When you shall see that happen, then start getting up into the mountains. Trouble is at hand. Destruction is going to fall on the earth. For man, when man has lost the quality of humanity, you notice one part of the Bible said he won't even have the love for woman. When man has lost the quality of humanity, his mind is taken over by satanic forces. His emotions are entirely changed from humanity to brute nature. His desire is changed into not the desire that men want anymore, for peace and quietness and a good life. That's the desire that is within man. Amen. Every man wants to have a good time, to take it easy, have enough. That's the desire. The will of man changed from the will to go up to God, and it is now a will to go down and to be like the devil. Amen. When man is taken by that 666, get out. He said, move up into the mountains and get yourself up into the high places, for it's going to be trouble. The great tribulation will be on the earth. So then, brethren, let's just see if we can consolidate this point and come down with the word. God is calling to us to get ourselves in the Spirit, for that is the hiding place. Don't let anybody fool you, deceive you, that there is a hiding place in Africa. Don't let anybody deceive you that there is anyone down in Jamaica. Don't let anybody deceive you that there is one down in South America. Don't let them deceive you. Don't let them deceive you that there is a place in Oklahoma or anywhere there where God is going to make the beast just can't come into. But believe this, that the overshadowing is going to be over you. Amen. And just as the cloud was on the tabernacle in the days of Moses, so shall the cloud be on the tabernacle of the people of God in our time. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. One thing more. All right, I won't bother with that. I will just say here, pardon me, I'll just say here that the 666, this is what the devil wants. He wants to have a man whose spirit is completely in his hand, a man whose soul is in his hand, and a man whose body is in his hand. And every area will be 666. Although the three areas, three sixes, man will be completely satanic. If you notice the trend of our education at this time, the trend of our education is to obliterate God entirely. Amen. When they shall have succeeded to get a generation of people who are absolutely carnal, who are absolutely diabolical, then they will be able to show forth the manifestation of the man of sin. The Bible says, he that letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And I do believe that God has certain forces in the earth holding back. Amen. As we saw in Revelation chapter 7, where the four angels were standing on the four corners of the earth, holding back the winds, that it blow not on the earth. There are earthly forces down here, holding back the great tribulation from sweeping up on these people. And God, why? Why? He said, hold them back, angel, until we have sealed the servants of our God in their forest. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. See the same picture in Ezekiel? We find Ezekiel, they are told, it says, okay, six men came, and each man had a slaughter weapon in his hand. Ezekiel 9. And these six men are a type of man. Six is the number of man. But a seventh man comes along, and he is the number of God. He is perfection. And he said, hold back, let me mark them before you kill. And he marked the servants of God in their forehead. And that means the nature of God was put in the minds of people. Brethren, it is two natures that are going to fight. Amen. The nature of the beast is 666. Is a thing that you receive in your forehead, that is in your mind or in your hand, which is in your right hand, which is your spirit hand, which is your work hand. Amen. You will either receive it in your spirit or in your mind, and this will be the mark of the beast. 666, the nature of the devil himself. And when men receive that, they can't be saved anymore. Praise God. Let us pray for our children. Let us pray that God will overshadow them. Let us not only pray, but let us believe God for his overshadowing of those children. For that which has come upon the earth tonight is delivering more young people than anything else. The drugs and the destruction that has hit the young people, it's delivering more young people than anything else that ever happened to them. More young people are becoming conscious and are seeing the reason why they should turn to God. For now it is an abyss. If they don't turn to God, they are going right over the brink. And so many are turning to God. We thank God for it. And tonight we need to understand and to pray and to trust God for this very thing. God bless you in the name of Jesus.
This is the end of message, M. 017. The Overshadowing.